There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday edition of the show. Easy to get in touch with us. 343-0106. 343-0106. Gets you through on a phone call or a text. And also you can leave us one of those talkback messages when you use the FM Talk 106.5 app. Yeah, it is interesting, this bigger discussion going on about what would happen. You know, President Trump said, well, we're not going to say when, but we're coming to Chicago. We're coming to a town near you with federal response to crime. As he says this, it does bring up the question I had. I think his ultra runner brought it up on the text line during Jeff's show. Asked the four that wanted to be mayor, and at that point it was four, now, of course, two, and we'll ask these questions again. If you can't get violent crime under control, would you call in another asset? Now, in the case of like Mobile, could it be Aaliyah? Could you bring in somebody, you know, from a state level instead of a federal level? So it's just interesting, something to talk about. And the idea that keeps getting thrown out is, well, if like Pritzker said, the governor said in Illinois, well, if they come and they leave, crime will go back up. So by definition, you have told me that we'll be successful. What if maybe during the period of time that the feds are going to be there, you get things under control, then you fill in and you get, now you get a control of it. Now I still have my issues with this, because I worry about the feds being police. I'm just old school enough like that. But if you say, okay, listen, you've got the police, the feds come in, assist you in Chicago, get things squared away. Then in the meantime, you figure out how to shore up things. And then when the feds leave, it doesn't go right back up. Just a thought process. I don't know. All right. We bring on to the show to assist me in this, star of stage and screen and microphone and the music world. And I mean, the guy is into everything. It's Cameron Smith, our buddy, joining us now on Midday Mobile. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. I've been paying attention. Looks like y'all got a congressional race down there on your hands.
Yeah. The worst kept secret this summer, you know, that Barry Moore was going to run for Senate. And it was funny. It came out like in June, early June. People said, okay, expect, you know, how the whisper thing goes. Hey, Sean, expect an announcement pretty soon. I'm like, okay. Again, what I am good at doing, which is often bites me in the butt in this business, somebody says, well, don't say anything. I never say anything, you know? And then news will break sometimes. I'm like, hey, y'all told me not to say anything. But and then it was like, okay, July, this is going to happen. Then August, but then it did happen, right? So Barry Moore running for, running for Senate. That leaves AL1, as poorly drawn as it is, back open with no incumbent. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think, good grief, there's some interesting races. Obviously, the governor's race is not one of them, but the attorney general's race with Jay Mitchell and Catherine Robertson, know both those folks, and man, they are not pulling any punches, so that one's getting exciting. But, this is what I've grown to expect from Alabama, is some really interesting, good races between Republicans in the primary, and it is what I'm using to focus on since Alabama football has broken my heart and spirit.
Yeah, I didn't figure we wouldn't. I mean, I dealt with it yesterday. Listen, I was up on top of Mount LeConte in the Smokies, and I thought, well, because then people were, you know, on the trail were saying, that when they had cell signal, were like, well, it's 14-7. I'm like, okay, listen, the guys will get, I think that was like first quarter. So it's like they'll get settled in and, you know, then they'll turn this thing around, you know, the way Alabama football does. Get up to the top of the mountain. Somebody says 30. I said, what? Is that the right game? And I was happy there wasn't a television around.
Yeah, it is a new reality I'm struggling to get adjusted to. I don't want to. I have higher standards than that. but, you know, all kinds of exciting things are happening to distract me. Like,
that's right.
I don't know if you know this, but President Trump just named Huntsville the Rocket City.
Yeah, you're grasping for everything. It. Everything we're going to talk about, because yesterday he said, you know, should be, it's the Rocket City. You're like, oh, yeah. I reacted yesterday that way. I said, well, we've been calling that for a while. But by the way, just one thing before, and we can go back into our morning period. This is what I'm offering, because I am the older of the two of us Tide fans. I was a student, graduated from the University of Alabama. I was a student when this crazy thing happened, 1992. We won a national championship, right? We went,
yeah.
And I'm like, holy cow, all right, this is... And then I was also there right afterwards when we got as far as in the rotation here, the orbit, we got as far away from getting a national championship as possible with a series of coaches. So I went through that period. Y'all, there is light again. I've been through this. It was bad. And then it got great. So with everything turn, something like that. I mean, this has happened before. And the tide has come back out of it. We've had some dark days and then we came back out. So it can happen again.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the optimism. It's real tough being up here in Tennessee when Tennessee fans say, you know what, this Kalen DeBoer guy sounds a lot like how Butch Jones was sounding when he was still in life championships. And the players want it, and they just want it, and they're trying. And it's very Butch Jones-esque, so I appreciate your optimism. I was there for the end of Shula, beginning of Saban, at the University of Alabama School of Law. So I've been through famine and then feast, but I'm not a famine type guy. I don't think I want to do that again.
And I went feast famine, right? We had Stallings and then, okay. All right.
That's right.
Yeah. So, okay, let's talk about some other stuff here. And then I'll call you tonight. We'll complain about Bama football and how we're going to fix it. This, speaking of the president, you know, yesterday, number one, making the announcement for Space Force Command coming to Huntsville. Good thing. It's been a political football since Trump's first term and then into Biden into now. I don't think they can turn this around now, or can they? You spent time in Washington. If it's now, could they come back in 3 years with a new president, say a Democrat wins, and then take it away again?
When they Washington learns how to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, so I hesitate to say this is done, super double final. It absolutely looks like, you know, with how much time Trump has left at a minimum, that there will be enough buildup that it would be prohibitively expensive to move it again. But at this point, folks have access to grind. Our partisan politics are so bad right now that it would not surprise me at all if a Democratic president comes in and says, well, given the altitude of Colorado, it's closer to space, and therefore we need to move it back. I mean, it's that level of dumb that we're at, but, I mean, come on.
Its proximity to space is a lot better.
Yeah, it's true. Facts, Sean.
It is true. They are facts. That's the best take I've heard.
The garbage, but, I mean, like... Look, Huntsville has the infrastructure. It has the knowledge base. Like, if I have to hear about the concentration of PhDs in Huntsville again, I'll lose my mind. There are many, many smart people in Huntsville, to the point where Huntsville's sort of character and feel is very different than the rest of Alabama. I mean, that's how many, like, super smart space nerds live in Huntsville. So it is a good choice. It makes a ton of sense. And I think it will – Huntsville's booming anyway. This will be a big opportunity, not just for Huntsville, but for the state of Alabama and truthfully, for the region. I think it'll be massive for Tennessee, for example, because, you know, that southern part of Nashville heading south, there's a lot of land there, a lot of opportunity to come in and build some big stuff that can support Space Command. So I think across the board for the south, for the state of Alabama, big news. Big opportunity.
Yeah, I'd like to thought of them building like as rapidly as possible, saying if we could only get another dozen bricks laid, it'll be too built for them to undo. Y'all keep putting them in. Like,
I'll tell you what, though. If I don't get a rocket somewhere along 65 soon,
no joke.
I'm
going
to call everybody I know and be like, y'all need to fix this now.
Did that whole thing, what was it, a couple of years ago when they did the takedown? I remember hearing that going, what are you doing? I mean,
yeah.
They're saying, well, it takes a lot to maintain. Hey, look at the battleship we have sitting here, you know, at the north end of Mobile Bay. It takes a lot to keep up with, too. But it's a heck of an icon. Like,
yes.
Get you another rocket, y'all.
Yeah, and I talked to the chief of staff at the Space Rocket Center. I talked to all kind of folks. They were telling me that, oh, don't worry. Well, no. I want another rocket. It needs to be big. This is not a heavy ask. We're burning $6 trillion a year, and you can't put a rocket along 65 priorities, people.
I 100% agree. That should be, hey, members of the legislature, wouldn't it be interesting if that gets moved from us down here, a push for the state to do whatever is needed to help out the feds to get that done. All right. Mentioned this. I was talking about this before you came on. Look at the situation in Chicago and, you know, Trump saying, well, we're coming. I'm not saying when, but we're coming to your town, Chicago, with the feds. Of course, on the backdrop of that ruling about the using the National Guard and some Marines in California being a violation of posse comitatus that we talked about back then. It's the rule of law, which you and I both pay attention to. I think that's the issue here. But for success, it would probably keep some people alive if the National Guard assisted Chicago PD. Agreed?
Yeah, it would.
I mean, that's the tough thing. I mean, that's the where I get stuck because I'm not a populist. I get some of the movement here, but you could say, well, why do you care about this posse comitatus thing when you got to agree that if National Guard went in and assisted, people wouldn't die. Kids wouldn't get murdered. Yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, why do we care about the rule of law? I mean, that's a great question. And I think the answer is because when it's abused, it is extremely dangerous. And the blurry line between, hey, I'm doing this to help, and hey, I'm doing this in a way that oppresses, is a matter of political perspective more often than not. And so in this situation, I absolutely hate for any president, Republican or Democrat, to govern by emergency. Mm-hmm. I think that is the biggest load of, you know what, that we can ever have from a governing philosophy because we declare fake emergencies. Everybody in Alabama knows what's an emergency and what's not. You know, what happened at Doak Walker Stadium? Emergency, according to most people in Alabama. Not actually an emergency for the purposes of governing. And that's the kind of stuff that happens when we do this kind of thing. My take on it and why I think Trump was trying to get the governor, Pritzker, to ask for help is he has a little bit more sort of legal justification there. I mean, we've had the Insurrection Act.
Yeah, if the governor asks, then it covers the move. Or, I mean, you're the one who
gives him a little bit more authority than he would otherwise have. But the idea of, hey, you can just, like, federalize the National Guard and go in and police civilian matters, which, again, murder is a civilian matter, no, that's a violation of the law. And the answer is, if you want to change the law so that the executive branch can take over stuff in the states, then you can change the law. I wouldn't do that because I'm a federalist. I'm a conservative. And I think it's a bad idea for the executive to be able to just go into a state, mobilize the military, and say, hey, we're going to do this. Do I think it would save lives? Sure, I do.
That's the tough thing about it.
I just don't think it's a good policy decision.
I'm in the same place. But I do, I mean, for somebody saying, well, it's not going to make any difference, heck yeah, it'd make a difference. But the problem is, we got these guiding rules. We have this benchmark. We have this tether with the Constitution to what we're supposed to be in this republic.
Yes, and I think that's where you and I probably, you know, there's more exceptions with our conservative brethren right there than anything right now is the Constitution is the highest law of the land. It sets the bounds for what can and can't be done. And the idea that, you know, for example, the tariffs get struck down. Like, it's very clear from multiple courts now, and I suspect also the Supreme Court will either deny cert or they'll uphold the lower court's ruling that, hey, Congress has to act here on this tariff stuff. Like, it's cool that President Trump wants to, but he doesn't have authority. And the bottom line is every executive branch since I've been alive. Every president has tried to amass more authority than they had because it's inconvenient for them to ask Congress to do things. Congress is terrible. Congress does not act quickly.
That's the reason the executive branch and the judicial picked everything up, because Congress punts on everything.
Yes. And so the executive tries to expand power, and the judicial branch basically says, we're going to, like, check you on that. If you're exercising authority outside of your bounds, Biden did this with student loan repayment.
Yep.
He tried to do it. Trump's trying to do it with tariffs and other things. And I get it. When we like the person in charge, it's very easy to excuse it.
Or the thing. Right. So when people looked at this and said, hey, man, if Biden's going to move to, you know, expunge my student loan debt, then I'm for it. You have to get over the, you have to say, okay, but does he have the power to do that? You could say, I like the thing. I would love for not another person to be killed in Chicago, you know,
right,
or Mobile. Mostly, you know, I think about my hometown first. But do I want to dismantle what is our system of checks and balances? I would just rather, I don't, it's so tough. On this one, it really gets me. You know, I'm like, I want to keep the violent crime abated. But at the same time, I want to have the same republic.
It's really not, for me, it's not tough. Because who's in charge of policing and law enforcement in Mobile? Use that for example. Who's
okay.
in charge?
Mobile Police
it's
Department.
The folks, the folks that live there, their leadership, the people that they hire. And if they're not producing the results that the people of Mobile want, that's on them. That's on the folks in Mobile to say, you know what, we need better leadership, we need better police, we need better whatever.
We need better citizens.
Yeah, I mean, they're in charge. I mean, and so that's the idea. This is how federalism works, right?
Yep.
I agree with you. State of Alabama can, I'll give you one better. The state of Alabama looks at Mobile and says, you know what, y'all are failing, you're harming Alabamians, and so we're going to come in and dissolve the city of Mobile, and it is now under state supervision. That's a better solution than having the President of the United States mobilize the National Guard and come in and conduct civilian law enforcement. But we don't think like that. We're either like, well, I want what I want, and Trump says I can have what I want, and, you know, we'll save some lives doing this. And the answer is yes. And then the president will do something he shouldn't do, and will be quiet about it. I mean, that's the silly thing about the TikTok ban. I've been talking about this for months. The president's just ignoring the law. He's just choosing not to enforce duly enacted law, and
which is
we
bad.
Seem to
which
be okay
I would
with
argue
because we like TikTok.
Well, I would argue it's, and I'm not a TikToker, but I would argue it's bad law, but it is law.
Sure, and if you want to argue this bad law, the answer is change the law. Go back to Congress and say let's do it. But the idea that we, you know, how can I criticize President Biden for not enforcing immigration law when I'm looking at Trump and he's not enforcing law that Congress enacted as well? If it's just we enforce laws that we feel like, then it just matters who's in power, and we don't have any guiding principle, and that drives me nuts.
There you go. If people want to get more from you, whether it be the music of Wasted Bacon or your commentaries out there, how do they find you online?
At D. Cameron Smith on the X Machine. Or you can just Google me, and I'm not the golfer or rugby player. It's pretty easy.
He's the other one. Thank you, brother. We'll talk soon.
See you, buddy.
Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1227, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Got a few texts here before the news. Erica Thomas from 1819 News is going to join us here shortly. Let's go through some texts here. This one says, I'm all for getting crimes under control, but at what point do you draw the line at a police state? Right. That's kind of what I'm toiling with, because, you know, the populist movement, would, and it's accurate. I mean, you see what happened in D.C., where the president did have the right to do it. But you go in somewhere else, truly it would save lives. But are we doing the same thing we do, like the job Congress should do in Washington that gets kicked to the executive because Congress isn't doing the job? Are you bringing you bringing federal forces in to do the job that the states and municipalities should do for themselves? Fire Dog says, how many deaths are a national emergency? 600 a year, six on a weekend. I just want to know what the number of dead we accept. You can cite posse comitatus. Trump is going to cancel elections. The question, when did... Oh, yeah, that's what some of the people in the booth, they absolutely sound like fools. The only reason Trump's bringing these troops, Trump's trying to bring the troops in, or National Guard mobilized, to save lives, to bring down crime. Does it make him look better? Sure it does. But it keeps crime abated. So I'll take that part of it. But yeah, the part where they say he's coming in so he can have the forces ready to take over election time, that's just ridiculousness. So the question is, how many can we save from murders and drugs? How many? I don't know. Yeah, we didn't even have a chance to talk about the video out of hitting that, which, by the way, I've got some questions about that. Boat was supposedly leaving Venezuela. Was it going to come straight to the U.S.? Because if y'all look at the video, I don't know how that boat could make it through the Caribbean and across the Gulf and not refuel. I mean, that's... And do we... That's a whole other thing, Fire Dog. I'll probably irritate you about that later on. Let's see. T-Bone said, the only five-star that we concern ourselves with is the five-star heart from Butch Jones. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'll read some of these FSU texts here in a little bit. But we got some more news to talk about with Erica Thomas when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. Segment of the show brought to you by Blue Water Yacht Sales. My buddy Forrest there. We talk about the boats, we talk about the service, but right now, if you're going to repower, this is through the end of the month. They've got a great event going on. If you're thinking about, okay, well, you know, maybe I want to keep that same boat, but I want to, you know, put something new on the back of it. Well, right now, the repower finance offer is extended through the end of this month, so through September 30th. Gives you time to upgrade performance with flexible financing options. Also, if you're eyeing a new Yamaha outboard, there, in addition, the Golden Opportunity Sales event runs through the end of this month that gives you low-rate financing on eligible models. Like I said, I've been in conversations about another engine with Forrest here lately. They're making some deals, I guess, because, you know, it's like the end of boating season, so Yamaha has a motivation to get our attentions, and they have with these deals. More deals online at bluewateryachtsales.net, or go talk to the folks at Blue Water Yacht Sales here in Mobile on the East I-65 Service Road or at Orange Beach Marina, and always online at bluewateryachtsales.net. All right, without further ado, let's say hello to Erica T. News, or Erica Thomas, 1819news.com. Hello, Erica.
Howdy, Sean.
Howdy. And before we get into the news stories of the day, you've got an update here. We hadn't done this in a while because I guess he's been home for summer vacation. The Ranger's going back to school?
Yes, Ranger Danger, my lovely pup. He started back this morning, I'm not a social media influencer, but he is. He has become very popular on TikTok. His first video got over 83,000 views. His second got over 125,000. So this is all him going to school. And this morning,
what do you mean by going to school? What do you tell folks that going to school where?
So there's a place called Sea Paws in Foley. It's amazing. It's basically a doggy daycare. They do boarding and all kinds of stuff. It's called Sea Paws Dog Resort. It's just incredible. And they have a hot pink school bus, and they come pick up your dog, drop them off. It is adorable. Ranger always gets in the front seat, always. He has a friend on the bus named Adora, and they travel to school. He has his backpack on. It's the most adorable thing ever. I'm a huge animal lover. I love my Ranger.
I like the fact that he's got the school. I just like the fact that the bus comes and gets him. I mean, it's pretty funny stuff.
It's very convenient for us working moms, dog moms in the world. Now, my little Pomeranian, Stella, she's not allowed to go because she's so mean. She's even been kicked out of PetSmart, for goodness sakes. But Ranger,
she stays fired up. She's kind of fired up.
Yes. Yeah, she's very charged and very protective. She just prefers to lay around beside me, and that's fine. But Ranger, in the meantime, he's just a social butterfly, and he's getting his social butterfly on today.
Well, there you go. Back to school for Ranger. Y'all check it out. If they want to, do they go just to TikTok to your handle there, or where do they see this?
Yes, my TikTok handle is Erica Thomas 1111, and you will see his videos on the top of the page.
Okay, now to some of the stories that are over at 1819news.com. When I saw the story today, I said, maybe that explains it. So I was heading home yesterday. I was out of town over the holiday weekend, but heading back to the house yesterday out to the farm, and I saw more people pulled, more MPD cruisers with people pulled over than I think I've, I mean, I don't remember when. It was, eight or something like the seven, let's say seven to be accurate. From the radio station to out, you know, to the city limits. And then I saw your story about the checkpoints. This kicked in on Friday here. What's going on?
Yes, Mobile police are out and about, and they're ready to ticket people who are speeding and even doing other things like this checkpoint that they had last week. They focused the operation in a particular area. This time it was on Henry Aaron Loop. They issued 151 citations, and 50 of those were for speeding. Mayor Sandy Stimson said there was even a DUI arrest during that time, and that was, I believe, 8 p.m. to 4 in the morning. And they said they're going to do more of these. So, you know, just be on the lookout. Make sure you're following the rules of the road and being safe, because apparently speeding has been quite the issue in Mobile. So they wanted to do something about that.
Well, you know, I was thinking on airport. I've said this to, I think the mayor has been on with me before. I've talked about this, a traffic engineer. And I think they've done a lot better on syncing the lights on Airport Boulevard. But it did lead, it was a public safety issue because people were not able to catch, I mean, they were stopped at every light on Airport, right? So the light would go green and you might as well be at Talladega, right? Because people are going to haul butt to just try to make that. So they've gotten that better. Speeds were real fast on Airport for a while, and I know probably on other streets it's just the one I run every day. But I saw what I saw yesterday wasn't in, you know, this period. They said again, you know, the mayor said this coming weekend they may do these checkpoints, but it seems like just enhanced traffic enforcement, I guess. I hadn't seen in a while.
Yes, and I'm sure, I don't know if you remember that movie Bird Box. It was quite the flop, but there's a scene in there where the cars are just, the zombies are driving the cars and just crashing into each other and going crazy. And sometimes when I'm on the road, I think of that scene because it just seems like people have to just, you know, try, they're doing defensive driving. Everybody's on the defense, and it can get crazy, so.
Why'd you bring that movie up? Did somebody tell you to bring that movie? That's where you, the one you can't look, right? You can't look?
Right.
Okay. Did somebody pay you to bring that movie up?
No, I have no
idea. It freaks me out. That movie, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I saw it one time, and it's cursed me in my life. All right, let's go to other stories now that I'm stuck on thinking about that dang movie. Scared
me.
It scared me. All right, let's talk about looking in the rear view here for Election Day. And now Orange Beach Mayor Kennan lays out priorities for a new term. First of all, once this, we kept talking about this, and you pointed out that Tony Kennan got 60% of the vote. But for a turnout, Orange Beach has just kicked the rest of the state's butt. Maybe we need more drama in more elections, because I've never seen a municipality in Alabama so engaged in a mayoral race. I don't think ever.
Yeah, they were very motivated to get to the polls on Election Day, and so there was a great turnout. And like I said before, it really shows how much passion the people in Orange Beach have for their future and for their leaders. They really want to have a voice, and I think it's a great thing. Unfortunately, there was a lot of controversy behind the mayoral race, and that was between incumbent Tony Kennan and Councilman Jeff Boyd. And it's sad, you know, all the mudslinging that happened. But in the end, Tony Kennan pulled it out for another term. So he will continue to be the mayor there. And that's obviously what the majority of the people who voted wanted. So that's what they're getting.
Yeah, maybe you just need more drama to get turnout. It was just amazing. And I don't have the numbers of what the turnout's been in previous municipal elections in Orange Beach, but I don't think it's been that high. I mean, it's, you know, being cynical, I was like, oh, you need some kind of drama for turnout. But I mean, the proof's in the pudding. I mean, the people, like, if other places in the state would have showed up to vote like that, holy cow.
Well, and what's incredible, and I say this a lot of times on different city policy issues or ordinances that may be passed, a lot of times there won't be drama if there is community interaction and participation up front. You know, go to your council meetings, ask questions, see what people are talking about, see what the council is doing each week. A lot of cities have all of their agendas and any proposals online, so they're very easy to get to. If you can't go to the meeting, a lot of times they stream them live so you can watch. Just be plugged in to your city government or maybe your county commission. Like I don't have a city government, but I have a county commission that I like to watch just to know what's going on and what they're going to be voting on, because a lot of times by the time people have a complaint, it's too late to do anything. You know, something's already been passed or discussed and you missed your opportunity. So just check in each week, each month on what's going on in your area to be proactive in those issues and have your voice heard.
I do wonder, because so much attention spent on Washington, right? You know, that's one thing we do here. We talk about Washington, but we sure talk about Montgomery and Mobile and Baldwin counties, probably even more. That maybe it's easier to sell Washington because it's a drama. And I'm sorry, I'm really cynical today, but it is, you know, and the city council thing that, you know, the meeting they didn't go to probably applies to their day in and day out life more than anything. But there was not, they hadn't been framed of a narrative of there's a good guy and a bad guy and everything's, you know, this is the last chance you'll ever have to vote on that. You know, all those kind of things that are in the national narrative really don't seem to exist in city politics, not at the same level. And therefore, people aren't as engaged in the soap opera.
Right. Well, and things do trickle down from Washington. You know, we also need to pay attention to that. But on the other hand, things trickle up. Even though municipal elections in Alabama are not partisan, they're not, you know, people don't run on a Republican ticket or a Democratic ticket to be a city council member or a mayor. Still, they have policies and ways that they look at things that are going to impact the higher government levels. You know, the state representatives work with city officials, county officials. And so while it's not a partisan issue, you still have to pay attention. You still have to stay plugged in, like I said, and make sure you vote for the people that are going to represent your values and what you want to see in the local government, because it really does matter. And it really does make a huge difference, not only at home, but further out.
My local values are pick up my garbage, right? And make sure my street's paved. Erica, people want to reach out to you. Now they know how to get the Ranger update on TikTok, or if they want to go to Twitter or X, what's your handle over there?
It's at Erica T News, and also be sure to check out 1819news.com.
Great stuff. We'll talk again next week. Tell Ranger I said hi.
Thank you. I will do.
All bye right. Bye. There goes Erica. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Time to check in with my buddy Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. And Blaine, actually, I'm looking at a picture right now from CB Carl. He and his wife, Laura, they used the Labor Day special for the rental to get a Mini X, getting a lot of work done at the house with that Mini X. A lot of people took advantage of it when you do these three-day weekends.
Yeah, a lot of people did take advantage of our rental special this past weekend, Sean, and we're starting to get some of that rental equipment back. So got plenty of tractors with all the implements. If you're looking to go to the deer camp, plant food plots, do some bush hogging, got all those implements back here at the store now, as well as like the skid steers with the brush cutters and grapples, the Mini X, like you just said. We've got all that stuff in stock here in our rental department. So if you're looking to knock out a project or go to the hunting camp, come by and see us. We'll be happy to help.
Yeah, let's talk about something, too. We talk about different packages you put together and deals you all have had, like on the L2502 and all that. But something I do when I go to y'all's website is you've known me long enough. I'm going and looking at your pre-owned a lot, trying to see, you know, what comes in, because selling as many new, you know, pieces of equipment as y'all do, you get all kind of great trade-ins. And so, yeah, I scan those a bunch. People ought to check that out.
We do. And yes, you can go to our website, go to the top. There'll be a pre-owned tab there. You can click on that tab. You can filter through all of our 8 locations. If I don't have it here in Robertsdale, I can get it from any of our other stores, but we've got a wide variety, and it's not just tractors and lawnmowers. It's a little bit of everything, side-by-sides. Every now and then you might see a boat on there, just all kids of stuff, tractors, skid steers, mini excavators, and all kinds of different implements you might see. So we've been trading in a good bit of tractors and side-by-sides here lately, so if you're in the market for one, maybe not a new one, we do have you, so definitely check it out. Give us a call if you got any questions.
Yeah, and you've told me this before, like, but if I, because y'all have the different locations, if that tractor is not at the, you know, not there at your shop, Robert, you can get it over here.
Absolutely, yes. We got trucks running daily all over the place, so within a day or two, I can have whatever it is at one of our other locations, I can have it here in Robertsdale for you.
All right, y'all go check it out. But a couple of these tractors, don't click on because I'm getting them. Go over to the website and go to the pre-owned tab, or find Blaine in person. Tell him how to do that.
We're right here at Parrish Tractor in the middle of Robertsdale on Highway 59. Come by, see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturdays, 8 till noon. You can give us a call at 251-947-4171. And like we said, visit us online at parrishtractor.com.
Good stuff, Blaine. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine over at Parrish Tractor. Let's go to the text line here. Michael, you made me laugh here. Michael texted in, at least Bama won't go through the Kalen years of mediocrity like the Mike years. I couldn't find another coach named Kalen. Yeah, Michael, that was there. There's a chance for us Bama fans. I could just tell you, I was there as a student, 92. I was like, man, national championship, it's all going to be great. And then, then the dark days came, didn't they? So, yeah, we won't have the Kalen years unless, maybe Michael, somebody changes their name to Kalen. Chris in Orange Beach says those famous pennies that bought the battleship are about to go away, make all the little children start collecting pennies for a rocket ship. Yeah, we talk about what Cameron and I were talking about. They took that, when was it? It was a couple of years ago? The rocket, if anything, I mean, if I'm Huntsville, if I'm the dang city councilman in Huntsville, I'm like, we need to have the rocket right there on 65. Even if you do a facsimile of one, that, I mean, make sure it looks like it's proper, like in ratio, but I mean, Huntsville, have your emblem out there. But that was funny yesterday, President Trump going, it'll be called forever on now the Rocket City. It's like, yeah. Did the speechwriter write that? Anybody say, hey, yeah, we've been calling that a long time. Let's see. Aiden Citronelle said, Sean, do they think moving municipal elections to an off cycle was a good idea? It appears the vote totals were down. They were down. Is that, yeah, that's interesting. Is that why? You know, they're putting it, I mean, can you not get around, and I'm not saying you, Aiden, but what really, what's the excuse for not getting out and voting at a municipal level? It surprised me. But then you can see, like, where there was drama, then there's better turnout. Let's see. Jerry in downtown Fort Morgan. Let's see. Now that the president has pulled the Secret Service detail from former VP and California State Police have taken over the job when she arrives in Alabama. For the book signing, the members of the security detail should be forced to get an Alabama concealed carry permit or be disarmed, just like you and I would be if we were to travel to the People's Republic of California. All right, yeah, we don't have a reciprocal with them. Unnamed texter here, I think unnamed texter, said freedom is the most important thing we have in this country. While having the National Guard come into a city would curb crime and save lives, we cannot allow the federal government to overstep their authority. That is a terribly slippery slope to be on. The people in that area have selected whom they've selected, and the responsibility to change the city rests on their shoulders alone. Well written. I agree with you, Texter. The problem is I can also put it in one hand and go, yeah, but it saved lives. So do you not? But I do follow. I'm with you. Lawrence and Mobile asking, are the police going to follow the rules as well? Well, you mean on the speeding stuff? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've gone through that before. There's, you know, we could talk about like the situations where cruisers are speeding. We've had this conversation over the years. Maybe I'll get somebody back on to do it. You know what? Coming up on, it's not police, it's sheriff, but we've got, let's see, today is, yeah. So this coming Tuesday will be the second, wait till I do the math. That's the second Tuesday of the month. Okay. So we'll have, most likely have Sheriff Paul Birch back on. And we'll ask him about that. Remind me back then. So, and Sean said, did you hear about them planning to catch and kill the foxes on Dauphin Island? What a dirtbag move. I saw something flashed across on, I think, our Facebook page or something. I haven't read into it. I hadn't read into it more than that. What's the plan? To get rid of, you know, that's the thing. I mean, fox, it's interesting. The reason why you see so many more foxes on Dauphin Island, although somebody told me the other day that the coyotes had gotten onto the island. I'm surprised. I did not know that. But the reason you don't see, like, we saw a lot of foxes growing up in Mobile. But we didn't have the coyotes back then. Once coyotes move in, they usually take out any competition. Same way the wolves out west or, you know, where there's reintroduction, they'll take out coyotes. There's a pecking order there. It's been neat. I think last time we're camping, we boat camp off the west end of Dauphin Island. I think either that trip or the trip before, we had, I don't know if it was Roxy or another fox that was checking us out on the beach. Now, I will look into that. I did see something come up, but I have not read the whole story. All right, hour number two on the way. Old buddy of mine. I mean, a buddy of mine is going to join us to talk about something pretty interesting for schools in our area. We'll do that next.